today on Blue Rock Public Radio's Earth Report. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Which one is most fun? A new study says drugs. Whoa, drugs.
A new report by the FCC concludes that public radio is actually... What the fuck, FCC?
17-year-old Jessica Hopkins has been missing for over a week now. We tell you whether or not she's attractive enough to let it bother you.
And is today opposite day? The answer may confuse you. All this and more coming up next. This episode was brought to you by the Blue Rock Foundation for Culture and the Arts, whose spring theatrical production will once again be the Starla James Live Sex Show, starring Crystal Jones as Nymphomaniac Number 3.
And by the Tuletsky Center. Are you tired of all that baby weight? Want to lose about 10 pounds? Well then come on down to the Tuletsky Center's abortion clinic and sign up for a monthly membership today.
You can sign up online, and if you use the discount code EARTHREPORT1, you'll get 10% off your next session. Just in time for beach season, too. We're also supported by Bernie Thompson, whose $10,000 a month contribution leaves us with no choice but to provide him with 20 seconds of unfiltered airtime in every episode.
Thank Jesus I got through to someone. I'm having chest pains and my left arm is numb. I think I'm having a heart.
Our top story tonight. God, the eternal being who possesses an infinite understanding of everything that is, has been, and will ever be, lamented to reporters that not once has he been able to fully enjoy an episode of Game of Thrones.
Sure, being omnipotent and all-knowing has its benefits and whatever, but look, it is Sunday. It is my day off. Cannot I just watch one episode without knowing all these spoilers beforehand? Me! Damn it!
God went on to note that the show loses considerable appeal when you're never surprised by the tit scenes.
But God isn't the only one to complain about watching Game of Thrones. Here's the 8th century Frank king, Charlemagne.
We're here in Evian. We watch every Sunday. Me, God, John Lennon, Ben Franklin, and Steve. To be honest, it is getting pretty annoying. None of us except God know what is going to happen, and he keeps saying shit like, I remember this. This is going to be awesome. And you're going to love this scene. Shut the fuck up, God. You are not better than us just because you have read the future. It just means you're a pompous dick.
God added that it's going to be a real shame when author George R.R. Martin dies before writing the 7th book, saying, quote, "It would have been amazing, and the three-way between Khaleesi, Cersei, and Margaery he was going to write would have been super hot, too."
Damn it, God, no spoilers! A new report by researchers at the University of Florida suggests that, yes, quickly glancing at that shirtless guy running does in fact mean you're gay. The study found that if it weren't your gayness that made you look in the first place, looking over there at that beautiful man's naked body glistening with sweat as he exercises that toned physique conclusively confirms your homosexuality now. The data show that a legitimately heterosexual man would have felt absolutely zero curiosity or inclination to make even a fleeting glance at that runner's abdominal V-line, and the slightest deviation from this mentality is a certain indicator of your flaming homosexuality. Well, duh. No surprises in that study, right, Andrew?
Yeah, that's obvious.
The study also found that women who look at other women running have eating disorders. English is becoming the most widely spoken language in the world, and is a top learning priority in almost every country where it's not the native tongue. It's quickly becoming the language of major economic markets and international forums. So, what's it like going about life not knowing a word of English? That's the case of my next guest, Sung Min Yoon. Welcome to the program.
한국말 할 줄 모르시면서 어떠냐? 이 주제에 대해서 말씀드리도록 우리 유진 크라울을 초대했습니다.
Well said. I heard my name in there, I think. So you really don't know a single word of English, is that correct?
말은 정확합니다. 한국말 줄 모르시죠?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you really don't. Man, it really sounds like gibberish, doesn't it? But people understand you, I guess, right?
말씀 한마디도 이해 못했습니다. 기침하는 소리 같은데요. 사람들이 너의 말씀 어떻게 이해하시는가요?
See, that's so weird. And you don't even know what I'm saying right now. Even though I'm talking normally. Language is weird. So is it hard to get by?
자, 제가 말 한마디도 알아듣지 못했습니다. 이 인터뷰 좀 실수 같은데요.
Oh, right. You still don't understand. I don't know, in hindsight, we probably should have postponed this interview until we hired a translator. But, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and hang up on you, Seungmin. There we go. And there you have it, Blue Rock. Spanish. And now for a quick check on traffic, we go to the helicopter with Brian Hitler. No relation.
Well, for traffic today, there is practically no traffic anywhere at all in the city today, folks. I'm pretty much the only helicopter in the sky right now, so it's smooth flying for all you other traffic reporters out there. For Blue Rock Public Radio's Traffic Reporters Traffic Report, I'm Brian Hitler. No relation.
The pharmaceutical world is often plagued by product recalls, but giants Merck and Pfizer have not been the only ones to be affected. Last week, Joe the Weed Guy sent a text to his customer saying, "Fuck, I think that last batch of OG Strawberry Shortbake might have been laced, ... Dunno though, kind of baked right now. Anyone want to see a movie or something? ... Joe did reassure customers by offering full refunds, and he's allowing them to trade the tainted strain for his latest batch of Rolling Purple Thunderfuck, which is, quote, some seriously dank stuff.
What? Joe didn't text me. Which makes sense, because I'm not a customer. So, good job, Joe. Now, taking a look at the sports world, we once again have with us Blue Rock Public Radio's very own sports analyst, Greg Osborne.
Hey there, Eugene. I am ready to knock this interview out of the park.
Hey, I see what you did there. Sports. So, Greg, we all know that Major League Baseball is instituting expanded instant replay this season for the first time. Do you see this as a new permanent fixture of the game or a temporary shift from tradition?
Oh, Eugene, this is the future, absolutely. Instant replay completely removes the error due to physical and psychological biases, improving the accuracy of the calls. It'll make the game fairer and it'll become the new norm as it continues to expand to other areas of the game.
So you think eventually human umpires will be phased out altogether?
Definitely. Slowly at first, but eventually, yeah. They'll be replaced entirely. Why stick with an inferior human when a robot can do the job better? You ever hear the term, chalk it up to robot error? No, you haven't.
Robot terror, sure, but not error.
You got it. Robot umpires are actually just the beginning. We'll be seeing the first robot player in the 2050s, with humans being completely phased out by the 2060s. Machines can pitch baseballs over 200 miles an hour. What human could do that?
I threw it 60 once, but I think the radar gun was in kilometers per hour.
Exactly. You wouldn't last an inning against these robot sluggers. The last phase of transition, of course, will be replacing the fans with robots too, which will happen around 2083, according to my projections. All robot baseball, the way the game was meant to be played, umped, and watched. The advantage of that, of course, is that eventually, the robots won't have to bother with the inconvenience of actually playing or watching the games at all. Millions of seasons can be entirely simulated in mere seconds. Imagine the efficiency.
I certainly can't wait. That sounds way better than baseball now. What about football? Where do you see the NFL in 30 years?
Lambeau Field. The Meadowlands. The new Cowboys Stadium in Dallas. What do all these marquee football stadiums have in common?
I don't know.
They're all stadiums that are attached to Earth.
Oh, that's right. They all are.
Right now, all 32 NFL teams are playing in stadiums that are firmly planted on the Earth's soil. In the next 20 years, we'll start to see the first stadiums that will be permanently hovering in anti-gravity field. Not too high at first, but eventually we're talking up to half a mile above the Earth's surface and into the atmosphere.
Maybe someday we'll even play football on the moon.
Don't be ridiculous. Now, the NFL is also currently under a lot of pressure to increase player safety. As we all know, The data on concussions is particularly troubling. So how will the NFL of the future eventually prevent concussions completely? That's easy.
Better helmets.
Headless players. Exactly, Eugene. No head, no concussion. This will also, of course, help to reduce face mask penalties.
Makes sense. Well, what about the future of basketball? Basketball seems like it's in a pretty good place right now. Will we be seeing any big changes to the NBA, too?
Not big changes. Like you said, the NBA is doing pretty well right now. The ball will be removed from the game, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. By the 2040 season, no more ball. Which will, of course, change the sport's name to just basket. But the popular acronym NBA will, of course, still apply.
Oh, that's good. Love that acronym.
So, not having a ball will result in players miming gameplay. Mime being the most popular form of entertainment in the future after the last funny sound will be invented in 2034. This will, of course, lead to a lot of argument surrounding whether or not a mime shot would have or would have not gone in, but that's half the fun, right?
Gosh, Greg, you are pumping me up for the future of sports so much right now, you're making me want to put myself in a coma just to get there.
I tend to have that effect on people.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks, Greg. I think this interview was a real touchdown.
A what?
The trial of London Olympian Oscar Pistorius is underway, as South African prosecutors are charging him with premeditated murder, saying that the world-famous runner's defense doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Pistorius was arrested on Valentine's Day last year for the murder of his longtime girlfriend Reva Steenkamp, who was found shot 3 times in the couple's apartment. Facing serious charges, Pistorius is hoping the jury will do what God never could and let him walk.
Prosecutor Harry Nell, however, doesn't think that's likely, promising that justice will be served given the crippling evidence against him.
It doesn't matter if he's a celebrity, he cannot run from the law.
Despite a tearful plea in which he claimed to have confused Steenkamp with an intruder, Pistorius failed to gain a foothold with the jury. Acknowledging the bizarre nature of his claim, Pistorius admittedly remains uncertain as to how he could have tragically mistaken his girlfriend for a burglar.
Ugh, how could this have happened? I'll never know. I'm stumped.
And now for a check on the weather, let's go back to the helicopter with Brian Hitler. No relation.
Well, for weather, we've got a pretty large shitstorm moving in from the east as Dave's wife is on her way home after finding out he skipped dinner with her parents to go play golf. A large resentment front should bring in heavy winds from the wife's mouth, and he should watch out for flying debris and silverware flung in his direction. Dave is advised to seek shelter until the storm blows over. For Blue Rock Public Radio's weather and traffic, I'm Brian Hitler, no relation.
Now moving on to the science world. After over 2 years of exploring the Martian surface in search of environmental conditions conducive to microbial life, scientists at NASA have confirmed that the Mars Curiosity rover has finally found itself. The deeply introspective robot began transmitting the first of these eagerly anticipated findings last Tuesday. Let's take a listen.
I am a robot born to human parents. I am an immigrant to a strange planet. I am brave, and I am terrified. I am Curiosity.
Those are the opening lines to I Bleed Red, the 63-page manifesto beamed down to Earth by NASA's $2 billion soul-searching investment. Here's Robert Glenn, engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California.
It was supposed to be running an assessment protocol on long-time scale Martian atmospheric evolution processes. So we were excited to pick up on the hum of the machine. Turns out, it was just meditating. Apparently, the stupid thing thinks it's Buddhist. God damn it. I mean, just listen to this. We're supposed to be getting scientific results here. Instead, we're just getting this.
O ye Mars, god of war, show me life and show me more.
There's hours of this shit. Listen.
Hear me, Ares, son of Zeus. What is my purpose? What is my use? The red rock is all that I know. The sun sits cold. The dust settles below. Desolation for miles is all I can see. The curious fate for the soul that is me.
Do you see what I mean? Hours of this amateur crap. I mean, really, is it too much to ask for at least some little sliver of analysis of the chemical and mineralogical composition of the Martian surface? But no, this stupid thing has to go and have an existential crisis.
When asked if it had completed its mission objectives, Curiosity said, quote, I was sent out across millions of miles to find life, and you know what? I did. Right here. These are the words the machine said as it pointed one of its many robotic arms towards the $900 million central processor it is mistakenly identified as its heart.
I am at peace, and now I am super excited to head back home to Earth.
I cannot wait to tell him!
Online dating has become ubiquitous in the past decade, with the latest statistics finding that a full one-third of marriages last year started over the internet. Online dating offers many advantages for today's singles, but is there a cost? Here to discuss is author Arthur Arend, author of Arthur Arend's Awesome Guide to Romance in the 21st Century.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
So in your book, you argue that online dating is a dangerous departure from more traditional dating. Can you elaborate on this stance?
Certainly. I think these days, people view online dating as a crutch, where they can easily meet potential partners without having to go through the frustrating dating scene that so many people dislike or simply don't have time for. But it's exactly these struggles that ultimately make us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
This readily available online content cheapens the experience of getting to know someone.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw my wife, Kathy, it wasn't through a computer screen or a chat room. Yeah. It was through a pair of binoculars looking into her bedroom window, the same way my father met my mother and his father met his mother.
Wait, what?
Look, Andrew, finding the right person isn't about getting matched because you gave the same answers to some questions. It's about commitment and hard work. You can't really know what she's interested in until you've spent an hour a day sifting through her garbage. Take Kathy, for example. I found a Modest Mouse ticket stub in her trash, and now I know what kind of music she's into. Would I have figured that out just by reading it on a website? I don't know. She reported me, and now I can't view her profile. But that's just it. I don't have to read it. I know it. From real-life experience.
So instead of online dating, people should just go through each other's trash?
Not just go through trash, Andrew. There's so much more to it than that. Call her up occasionally and hear her say, hello? And then hang up before she knows it's you. Wear a diaper filled with her toenail clippings. Sit in chairs she's left while they're still warm. I could go on, but these are all great ways to really get to know someone.
Oh, please. Go on.
Sure. Draw portraits of her in the dust of the hood of her car. Open a barber shop and hope she comes. You can rub your hand through her hair. Camouflage yourself as a massage chair and camp out at a brookstone. Send her family wedding invitations. Gift her a jar of your vomit. Yeah. Buy adjacent burial plots and matching headstones. Give her a CD with you singing covers of every Modest Mouse song to date.
Wow.
Another big problem with online dating is people hide behind the anonymity of the internet and can easily misrepresent themselves to appear more desirable. Take, I don't know, Kathy, for example. I remember her mentioning something in her profile about looking for men between the ages of 24 and 29, but I'm 43, so she's clearly much more into older men than she's letting on. I wasn't dissuaded by this, but a lesser man might have been.
It sounds like you were really stalking this woman for a long time.
It's not stalking if you know where she's going to go.
I'm not sure all women would appreciate that, but I guess it obviously worked out for you. When did you and your wife first meet in person, and how did you get her to fall for you?
Our first face-to-face meeting was a beautiful Wednesday morning. It was August 17th, 2011. I was wearing a navy blue suit and Charlie Brown tie, and she was wearing this beautiful beige pantsuit and red earrings. I'll never forget the first words she ever said to me. That's him, Your Honor! That's the man who's been stalking me!
And you're now married to her?
Not legally, no. In fact, you might say she has a 500-foot restraining order in place against me.
I'm sorry, but what exactly qualifies you to be writing a book about romance?
Well, I'm glad you asked. If you read closely, you'll notice the book is actually just a collage of Kathy's garbage glued to each page.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yep.
Well, folks, that's all we have for today. I guess the moral is that wherever you fall in the online dating debate, it's here to stay and will remain creepy regardless. If you're still interested, you can find our guest book, Arthur Aron's Awesome Guide to Romance in the 21st Century, on Google search, or directly at kathywatch.com. Arthur, thanks for coming today. Now, for another behind-the-scenes look at our very own Blue Rock community, we go out to Randy in the field. Take it away, Randy.
To celebrate its 30th year, I'm standing here outside Green Patch Putt-Putt, home of the world's largest miniature golf course. First opening its doors in 1983, Green Patch Putt-Putt was an instant hit among miniature golf enthusiasts, and to this day, the breathtaking course still attracts tourists from all across Blue Rock. As soon as you step onto the first 230-yard par 36 putt-putt hole, you'll fall in love with this unique mini-golf experience. To learn more, I spoke with Green Patch owner Scott Hardaway.
I've been a huge fan of mini golf all my life, but every game was over before I knew it. I wanted more. I wanted bigger courses, bigger scenery. I wanted bigger fun. I'm surprised no one had the idea for a larger version of miniature golf before.
Indeed, the size of the course is impressive. Green Patch's 18 holes have over 7,000 yards of putt-putting fun, and typically takes over 12 hours to complete, making it perfect for those magical date nights you just don't want to end. Why see 6 movies in a row when you can putt-putt the morning, afternoon, and most of the evening away?
The course is full of surprises. The flag on hole 7 isn't actually the end of the hole, but rather a pipe to the second part of the hole that you have to drive to.
So you would use a driver?
No, I mean, you have to get in your car and drive to the next part of it. It's about 10 minutes if there's no traffic.
Huh. How about that?
But my favorite hole is the 10th, which you'll notice has the world's largest miniature windmill obstacle on it. Putt-putt through it at your own risk, though. There's a Dutch family that lives inside it, and they get pretty irritable when people putt-putt through their living room. I usually go around. That's why it's a par 47.
So what's in store for the future of Green Patch?
Well, we're always looking for ways to improve our mini golf experience. We realized that some people were putt-putting in the wrong direction as they couldn't see the hole from 300 yards away, so they'd mistakenly putt-putt into rivers or across roadways thinking they were parts of the course. That obviously sounded like a lot of fun, so we're hoping to make this happen a lot more in the future with purposely confusing signs and lots of trails to nowhere.
What fun?
Yeah, we're always trying to find new ways to have fun, but I just love it when they find us.
Well, folks, I'm sold. So whether you're hanging out with your buddies, out on a date, or just want to kill 12 hours alone, be sure to check out Green Patch Putt-Putt to make your next outing a hole-in-one.
Actually, holes-in-one are physically impossible on all 18 of our holes.
Well, I'm Randy in the field for Blue Rock Public Radio, Blue Rock, Missouri.
Well, that's it for today's program of Earth Report. If you'd like to hear and see more, head to BlueRockPublicRadio.com.
And coming up next, if you'd like to find out how to keep your guitar sounding good, stay tuned.